This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
What should be the priority for the Bears in replacing Vic Fangio? Did possible replacement Todd Bowles make a mistake in choosing the Buccaneers over the Bears?
I'll answer the second part first. I think it's good for the Bears that Todd Bowles didn't land here because I think Todd Bowles would be a one and done. I think Todd Bowles would come in here and win and leave. I think Todd Bowles is looking to catapult himself back into a head coaching job, and you could be searching him for a replacement 2 years running. I wouldn't imagine that Todd Bowles would be a long-termer here. So I don't know that the Bears have to take that into account, but I think it's something that they ought to consider. The priority for the Bears in replacing Vic Fangio is getting the best possible defensive coordinator that you can find. You know, it's interesting. I think Ed Donatell, there are real benefits to Ed Donatell. You keep the same language in the defense. You have the terminology. You know, you have the same teaching of methodology. You see what I'm saying? So, like, think about this. When Vic Fangio came here, when John Fox came here, you know, Kyle Fuller was on his way out. He couldn't fit in the defense they played at one point. It took him a while to figure out exactly what he was doing in that scheme. What you don't want is to take a step back with any of the talented players that you have. In the NFL,
bingo.
There are some positions that are just, you know, see ball, get ball, off you go. And it seems, okay, everybody can do that. Usually defensive tackles, there's not a great shift in what you're doing, or pass rushers. But my concern would be on the back end a little bit. More so, maybe in the linebacking core.
Leonard Floyd. Rushers who are about to break out. You know, technique matters.
Yes. So I think that changing a style, changing, again, the way you're teaching and the technique that you're emphasizing, right? And you know, it's stupid, but the idea, like, remember the trail technique argument years ago? There are just different ways of doing it, and different guys have different ideas. What you need is somebody that is going to help this group of players continue to grow, not get in their way in any way, if that makes any sense.
It does make a lot of sense. That's why when I'm looking at this criteria for Vic Fangio's replacement, I think that number one in terms of the priority is continuity. You want to establish as much continuity from the 2018 defense to the 2019 defense as you can. Continuity, experience. I think it matters to have a guy who's done the job before, especially with this group, because the worst thing you can do is put somebody in front of this room with this much experience and a guy that can't command the room and a guy that they won't respect through adversity, because there will be adversity. And that's the one guarantee of every NFL season. So I think continuity, experience.
And that's the problem with Ed Donatell. What we don't know about Ed Donatell is how he commands the room. What we don't know about Ed Donatell is how they feel about him as the leader. Because it seems Maybe. Obvious that you could just turn around and give him whatever money Vic was making and have.
Well, we don't know if they won't do that yet.
Maybe
either.
They will.
Yeah.
But if they don't,
right.
then I'm going to figure that maybe they didn't think he could control the room in the same way Vic could.
You would think that he offers the continuity, he offers the experience. I think compatibility is the third thing I think that he also offers. And I think he would get the benefit of the doubt quicker than somebody from the outside coming in in front of that room if he does struggle to maybe make that transition. He's done the job before. Ed Donatell has with the Packers.
Right.
It didn't go that well with the Falcons. But that was a long time ago, over a decade ago. I think this is a guy that has, you know, to me, makes as much sense of anybody with all the big names that you're going to hear. But I think that when you look for a replacement, you have to know what your work. You're not looking at a defense, again, that has to be schematically designed to, you know, put them in a position to do their jobs. This is a really good defense. And these are guys that are ready to take off when you look at Roquan Smith and Leonard Floyd. They've had really good second halves of the season. You're exactly right about the technique. You want to change as little as you can for these guys because you control those elements, and this defensive secondary was much better being put in the situations that they were put in by Vic Fangio. As for Todd Bowles, I respect him. He made Bruce Arians a pledge that he was going to be part of his staff if he got the job, and he kind of thought about it. He apparently talked to some people, but he wanted to honor his word to Bruce Arians, and this is the best job, I think, on any NFL staff, and Todd Bowles walked away from it to be with Bruce Arians to honor his what he told him, so I think you have to respect that.
Agree 100%. Top priority for me is continuity, so my number one choice is Ed Donatell, and I know you had the exit interviews, or they did, the other day with the players, but maybe reach out to some leaders on your team and kind of get an idea. Do you think Donatell would command a room and walk away with your own opinion? I'm sure Nagy has an opinion on that after spending the last season with Donatell. I find this decision fascinating because I thought he was really going to go after Bowles, his guy. Nagy has a lot of clout after a 12-4 season, so it's probably going to be 100% his decision on this one. Maybe a year ago, that was definitely not the case with all of his assistants. So is there another guy that's a Nagy guy out there that would be available or be willing to leave to join Nagy, or does he stick with a guy that was here from the previous regime? It's going to be a fascinating decision from him. As far as Bowles goes, I know the reaction among a lot of Bears fans, what's he doing? This is the best job. You have the better players. The defense here is going to be better. But I don't know that he made a big mistake. Arians is going to coach how long? His main job is to fix Winston first and foremost. And then maybe he ends up getting that Bucs job in a year or two. If they can convince the Glazers that things are going well, then that he should stick around. So
maybe he can undercut Arians and take the job next year. It's been known to happen down there.
Yes. Well, the GM will be the next one to go. So then Bowles will take over. He'll undercut the GM in some way. But yeah, I don't think we could say, even though the Bucs defense won't be close to the Bears defense for his career, I don't know that he made a big mistake.
And plus, Bowles and Arians have history working together. They had some success down in Arizona a few years ago. It would make sense that he would want to go down there and coach with somebody that he knows pretty well. You know, the Ed Donatell thing does make a lot of sense, but and I know it's not the same comparison, but the last time the Bears hired somebody in-house to replace a coordinator for the sake of continuity, Dowell Loggins became the offensive coordinator, and that was a complete train wreck. Like I said, not the same thing whatsoever. Everybody's shaking their head and giving me dumb looks right now. But
no, I was just thinking of the guy that called in and called him dialing up no gains.
Dialing up no gains.
Dial Logan.
It's just the last time that they hired somebody.
I prefer doubtful Loggins.
I don't think you just do it for the sake of
Gase is bringing him to New York.
Yeah, well.
It's great.
I loved the headline on the always illuminating New York Post, Jets choose fish failure to be next coach. They never fail. I prefer to see somebody who has been either a defensive coordinator or a head coach within the past decade get this job. You do have a lot of talent here, but it's not plug and play. I would like the idea of somebody like Steve Wilkes coming in here to try to rekindle after what happened in Arizona last year. He got a really raw deal. I think that would be maybe a better hire. I just think they have to shoot a little bit higher than just replacing the next guy on the depth chart, so to speak. Even though Ed Donatell, for all intents and purposes, everything you guys say about him, he seems like he's a great guy, good coach. I just think they should aim a little bit higher.
I mean, that's fine. Aim a little bit higher, but we need some substance behind it. If you flip through the newspapers this morning, you look at the short list, okay, you can poke holes in all of it. You want as little. This defense is turnkey, I think. Okay, you don't want, if you go outside, you can,
you should have 9 starters back, right?
10.
Well, 9 anyway.
9 for sure, right? 9 yeah. for sure.
Yeah.
Maybe 10. You know, hopefully they'll play all 11 guys, not 10 guys.
Well, the only one not coming back that you know of is Amos, right?
Well, and Callahan is sort of a starter.
That's okay.
Yeah, but one of those, I think one of those two will be back. Right, you're going to lose one, you're going to keep one. The question is, who do they value more? I think that, but that might depend on also who ends up being
your front seven's coming back.
Right.
That gives you an opportunity, right. And your Pro Bowl
unless
defensive backs
unless
are coming
you're looking
back.
To save some money somewhere.
Maybe.
I just, here's the thing. It seems like Ed Donatell should be a 2-foot putt, but because he hasn't already been like given a nice contract and given 4 years, that they're not. So in
and
love with
they're
the
negotiating
guy.
In Denver, right? So, I mean, he's going to go there.
You would think
if he doesn't stay here, right? If they don't, you know, if they're going to get him, they need to get him quick.
Right. So,
Dustin, Greg Williams is a brilliant football coach. Just ask him.
Just ask him, right? I mean, he'd be fun audio for us, right?
He'd be a little too much fun audio.
He'd be fun audio.
Yeah.
Rex Ryan.
Watch,
there's no way they let Rex Ryan in that building.
Rex Ryan and Greg lost. Williams, Nagy'd be working for them.
There's no way.
Right?
Exactly.
No shot. Now, Chucky Pagano, that's an interesting one, and I only call him Chucky because that's what we heard Dave wants to call him, right? And I don't know that Chuck Pagano wants to be a head coach again, but I think he wants to work in the league again. I think he's good enough to work in the league again. That might work, okay? That seems like something that could work. Jack Del Rio.
His brother.
Jack Del Rio's got like, you want to talk about like Captain Red Asses, man. He's like on the Mount Rushmore of Captain Red Asses.
He's also tight with the pass rusher.
Yeah, and that's what
real tight.
You wonder if that matters, right? How much of a, so I just, the short list doesn't do, I like the idea of Todd Bowles. That excited me as a fan, but I also can appreciate and respect the guy who had made the commitment to Bruce Arians, even if he hadn't signed on the dotted line.
It makes you want him even more.
Right? Exactly.
There's a nobility of that.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question.
How good of a head coach will Vic Fangio be, and what is his Bears legacy?
I think Vic would be a pretty good head coach. I think it helps having a Super Bowl winning head coach calling your offensive plays, or at least shaping your offensive game plans. A lot goes on the quarterback there. I mean, I don't know that there's a lot of confidence in Case Keenum. Who is their young quarterback to develop? They don't have one. They'll probably get a bridge guy. There's a couple guys out there on the free agent market who might be tempting for John Elway to think that Gary Kubiak can fix. They've had success doing that in the past. But I think overall, I'm curious how he'll command the room every single day. You know, I think it's interesting. We see Vic here once a week, kind of crack wise at the podium. And he's very good at that. And he's got a self-deprecating sense of humor. He's dry. He's glib. He's all those things that we laugh at. And he'll be missed. He has to do that every day. I don't know how he'll suffer fools. We'll see how that goes. But getting an opportunity at this stage of his career is interesting, to wait this long to see how he takes advantage of it. But I think a lot will depend on who his quarterback is. He has a great opportunity on defense because of Von Miller, because of Chubb, because of the talent that he has. You wonder how he'll be able to, you know, take advantage of those guys. You figure defense is going to be the name of the game in Denver. His Bears legacy, well, look, I mean, the Bears did not get to the Super Bowl, but he's probably the second most popular defensive coordinator in Bears history behind Buddy Ryan, who did get to the Super Bowl. Ron Rivera was the defensive coordinator in 2006, but that was Lovie Smith's defense. It was always Lovie Smith's defense. That was part of the issue. This was Vic Fangio's defense. We kidded, you know, all season long about how he was the co-head coach. He'll go down as being the guy who was probably, you know, right behind Buddy Ryan in terms of popular defensive coordinators in a franchise that values that position.
As far as Vic Fangio as a head coach, I think he's good. I think this setup in Denver is perfect. This is a really good hire by Elway, and he has Kubiak there who has, you know, came in for a year and won a Super Bowl and didn't like, I know the health issues, but did not like a lot of those responsibilities that went along with that. And that was really one of the problems. So Vic gets to be the front man, gets to run the defense, fix the defense. They got a lot of good pieces on that defense. By all reports, there is a good relationship between Kubiak and Case Keenum. And if you think about the way Kubiak ran that offense, it will fit very well with Case Keenum likes to do with play action stuff and all that. So Vic gets to go in there, be himself, be the front man, and he has a guy who's effectively playing the co-head coach role. And, you know, you could argue that it might be a dangerous situation if Kubiak ever wanted to be the head coach, Elway would name – he and Elway are really super tight. But I think it's a great situation. I think that Vic will do well with it because I think they got – they just improved on two sides of the ball in terms of their coaching, and they're going to fix a lot of those problems. What they wanted to do was have Kubiak sort of be an overseer of the offense and bring in a younger coach that he could sort of train to do it, but they just decided, you know, what the hell, why are we messing with this? You know what you're doing, run the offense. So hopefully that will be okay with Kubiak, and I think they're going to have some success. I think that obviously the quarterback position becomes important. Their draft selections, everything else becomes super important. But, you know, I mean, can you imagine Vic with Von Miller? That's pretty good, man. That's a lot of fun. So you start with a pass rusher. You can put together a pretty good defense when you got somebody up front applying pressure. And Von Miller, you could argue, single-handedly won a Super Bowl one year. I don't know that I've ever seen a defensive guy, one man, take over a game in the fashion in which he did.
Khalil Mack?
Unbelievable. Not the Super Bowl.
No, not a Super Bowl.
And certainly not in the playoffs this year.
No, but he goes from Khalil Mack to Von Miller. Not bad.
Yes. Pretty good stuff.
Yeah, Bradley Chubb's not bad.
He'll
He's
do
got
well.
A lot of pieces.
Yeah, and I agree.
Secondary.
I agree with what you said about him fitting in with, you know, Buddy Ryan will always be the guy because they won a Super Bowl, but Vic had a great run.
Elway did something right for once. This is a very impressive combination that you have with offense and defense. And while the trend right now seems to be you go and get the offensive head coach, look around LaFleur, Kingsbury, Arians, Kitchens, Gase, this might be the most impressive hire that we've had so far this round. And actually, in some ways, Denver is actually following the trend because now you don't have head coaches that seem to be coaching the entire team. They're coaching one side of the ball, and they got the defensive guy, but he's going to coach that side of the ball, and they have the guy already in-house. It sounds like he's going to go back to OC and Kubiak to run that side of the ball. So I think it's going to work out very well in Denver. They just have to find something called a quarterback.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, that would help. We'll see how Kubiak works with Case Keenum. Legacy for me, as far as the Bears, it's just another stop in Fangio where he just turned it around. He came in, one of the worst defenses in the league, just like with the Niners and the Texans, his previous stops, and he made them one of the best. And in his last season, the 36 takeaways, unreal. And he's led the league in takeaways before, so I don't think it's random. Some people like to say that takeaways are random. I don't think that's the case at all, especially with what happened with the secondary. Other part of his legacy, let's get on with this love fest.
I will definitely miss the dry sense of humor of Vic Fangio. He's a hilarious guy. And from people you talk to that cover the team, you know, he's not like one of these pure jerk coaches. He's, yeah, maybe a little bit quiet, maybe a little bit rough around the edges sometimes, but he's not a bad guy just to be a bad guy, like some of the other people that have come through Hallis Hall. And I had the same reaction as everybody yesterday. Good for Vic Fangio. This is great for him. I'm happy for him. But I don't know if it's going to be, if it's going to go as swimmingly as you guys are all saying right now. One, he doesn't have a quarterback. I'm sure the defense will be very good. But somehow, and it's partially because Denver's in a really tough division, they have a really tough schedule next year. They do play the Chiefs and the Chargers twice, of course. They play the Bears. They play Houston. They play Indianapolis. They play Tennessee. They play Minnesota. They play Green Bay. It's going to be really tough to, you know, contend for the playoffs, not only in that division, but going up against all of those teams who were either over 500 last year or you would expect to take a leap. Cleveland on that list as well, who will probably be better next season. So, you know, Vic will have a pretty good legacy here, you know, come short of obviously achieving really anything in the playoffs. But the turnaround since he came into Chicago defensively has been great. And seems to be a good guy, and I do wish him the best. I just don't know how well it's going to go out there.
I think he'll be all right. I don't think he'll be anything special. I think he'll be all right. That's a tough division right this second. And the Chiefs, I don't think, are going away anytime soon. The Chargers, I'm still not in love with the Chargers at all. what his legacy will be here, you hope, unfortunately, and I'm happy for Vic that he got this opportunity and he's going to get paid really well and he deserves it. He's been in the game for a long time. I don't want there to be a legacy, right? If you are as hopeful that the Bears are going in the right direction and the arrow's pointing up, in a year or two from now, we're going to forget that name. You want to forget Vic Fangio. If he has a lasting legacy here, it's because now the defense went the other direction without Vic Fangio being its leader. So you don't want there to be any long-term remember Vic Fangio. You want that name almost erased from your mind if you're a real Bears fan.
That's a good question.
What's the Manny Machado report you put the most credence in over the past couple of days, and what is the least?
Boy, I'm really excited that that we're getting a resolution to this thing and that the White Sox may be the favorite. I put the most credence in any report that has the White Sox may be the favorite. That's just what how I'm choosing to live these days. And yeah, I'm pretty pumped up about the whole thing. I'm excited, and I'm hoping it comes to. I'm a little worried about Philly because they did talk about stupid money, and it sounds like he's still looking for stupid money. It's got to be he wants 10 years and $300 million. Apparently, Philly's made an offer, which that disturbs me. We know that the White Sox have made an offer, and we know that the Yankees have not made an offer. So I find that interesting as well. John Heyman, who we have on and hopefully we'll be talking to tomorrow, his thing is there's a report that the Yankees are out of it. He said he can't confirm that the Yankees, he doesn't believe that they are out of it, but he does buy the idea that there's going to be a decision quickly here. And you know, what I was told earlier in the week is that he was going to decide before the end of the week and it was going to be the White Sox. So that's the report that I'm hanging on to.
I tweeted something yesterday from Hector Gomez that who has some ties to MLB Network, I believe, and he said it was down to the Phillies and the White Sox, and that seemed to be something a lot of people latched onto as a possibility of give them some hope. Heard Phil Rogers on Sports Talk Live and NBC Sports Chicago say a source told him that Jerry Reinsdorf's optimistic.
Nice.
That's very interesting. Richard Justice was on MLB.com talking about, he's a very well-respected national writer, yep, all the reasons why the White Sox make sense. And, you know, we've both been in this situation, Molly. I don't know if you write something like that unless you might know something. You know, you're more inclined to go with a story or an, yes, idea if you have been led to believe this is the likelihood of something happening is pretty good. So all those things, kind of the dominoes, like, okay, maybe there's something to this. So I think, I don't know if any one stands out, but the combination of the kinds of reports that we've been hearing, and we've been hearing a lot of reports over the last couple of days and weeks, but the optimism to me feels like it's as high as it ever has been, and this could be on the verge of something special if you're the White Sox.
The report I give the most credence to is what John Heyman said yesterday, that he wants $300 million, that Machado camp wants that. Yeah, so do I. Everybody wants $300 million. Doesn't mean you're going to end up landing
there. I don't. $100 would be just fine with me. Thank you. I'll figure it out.
Also, that Hector Gomez report from Z101 Digital in the Dominican Republic, David mentioned White Sox and Phillies. That wouldn't surprise me, but those situations, every time you hear that, especially in baseball, it seems like there's another team that's going to pop up in the conversation. The 7-year one that Bruce had, I don't know why the years would be bigger than the money at this point. This really seems to be all about the money. So I'm not concerned about the years. I think when it comes down to negotiation, that could change, and you could end up adding another year or two if it's going to get the deal done.
Yeah, I think more important than the amount of years also is the ability to opt out at certain points in the contract. That is going to be a huge wrinkle in not only the Machado deal, but the Bryce Harper deal as well. Look, Mully, like you, want Manny Machado to play for the White Sox very badly. I'm still very skeptical, though, and I can't bring myself to get my hopes up, because if I get my hopes up and it doesn't happen, I might have to quit this job and get out of the sports industry whatsoever and just stop following baseball and just retire.
Boy, I hope the Phillies make this happen.
See? And Dustin would have to sit next to somebody else every day, and God knows he wouldn't want that. There is a report from the New York Daily News that says Manny Machado wants more money than Giancarlo Stanton. It seems accurate. I don't think it's going to happen for him, but it's nice to have high aspirations. I mean, we can go round and round on this. Hopefully, he signs somewhere soon, because, like I said, if this keeps going on like this and becoming stretched out, my expectations will rise little by little every day, and then I will be crushed at some point. And I can't let it happen.
Try to embrace some Jerry Reinsdorf optimism, will you?
Jerry Reinsdorf optimism. There's a phrase for you.
Since you put that out there, that's the report I'm going to go with. I love Phil Rogers on baseball. I love his talking about the sport. I love his ideas. He puts so many things out there to grab onto. So let's hope that's true. I've been saying this from the beginning. Believe it or not, I would love. Okay, it'd be just good for this city, which is a great baseball city. Be good for them to have a star. They'd get national and local attention over at 35th and Shields, something they haven't gotten in a long time. Every single day, we'd be on Manny Machado watch. Good, bad, or indifferent, we'd be on a watch. Okay, I don't know if it's a great idea to pay anybody $300 million, but God bless anybody that can get it. Okay, and guess what? I think Tuesday or Wednesday next week would be a great day for there to be a press conference at 35th and Shields and introduce Manny Machado as the future of this team. So let's go. Let's get it done.
That's a great question.
What would be the first question you asked Ryan Pace, and why have the Bears waited so long to make him available?
We'll go with the second part first. They have waited so long, I think, because they kept on waiting for the subject to change, and it changed again yesterday. But I can tell you this, that we got an email last night sent out by the Bears PR office around 10:15 p.m. that they won't be talking this week, and it'll be Monday at the earliest. And I think they have to be cognizant of the fact that they have the reasons for doing this, but it is in violation of NFL policy. Nobody will care about this. It's the Chicago media that's paying the closest attention. But NFL policy does require teams to have a press conference with its coach or general manager within a week following its regular season end, and the week ends on Sunday, and the Bears won't talk as of Sunday, so they will be in violation. It's just, you know, borderline disrespectful there. It's discouraging for people that want to hear from Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, and it's kind of clumsy, because I think they could have taken care of this Monday or Tuesday to address some of the issues out there. What would I ask Ryan Pace when and if you get an opportunity to do that? Now, the question is, what are you looking for in your next defensive coordinator? What are the things that you prioritize? Number two, what are you going to evaluate in terms of the future of Cody Parkey, and how likely is it that he'll be a Bear? Number three, how do you feel about Trey Burton in terms of how he has explained his absence and his injury that came up, a strange injury in the words of Matt Nagy, and does it shake your confidence moving forward for a player that you're paying $8 million a year?
Yeah, you know, it's very interesting because the first question would be Parkey, and now they've waited long enough that it's going to shift, and it's going to be about the defensive coordinator and how are you going to replace Vic Fangio. You know, I think there's a lot of questions, and I think that the media will do a good job of asking all of them. But, you know, it's one of those classic news conferences like, hey, what took you so long to get here? I think that, you know, why didn't you have a news conference?
Needed a police escort. There's too much traffic getting from Lake Forest.
That's it. So I think that part of the problem is that they're trying, and I do, you know, it's fairly obvious that in order to avoid answering tough questions about Cody Parkey, they have postponed the news conference, and now they have a reason because, well, Vic got hired elsewhere. You know, there are coaching issues now, and there are player issues now, and I think the question is moving forward, how do you ensure that you don't take a step back? And I think the individual questions that you just outlined have to be asked, maybe even in that order, David.
Aside from Bears programming, when's the last time the executive of the year spoke? Was it the Khalil Mack trade?
This idea, Joe, that you don't speak after the season because some other news might break. That you know, you don't want to come back a week later and talk about the Fangio thing, do a conference call?
Probably.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
I want to be alone. This is the Greta Garbo of bloody NFL GMs.
They're hoping to they don't want to talk. They want to talk as little about this past Sunday as possible. I think that's part of the reasons. The first question I would ask is, what evidence did you have that Cody Parkey would come through in the clutch for you? We know how playoff games go, how tight they are. The kicker is involved a lot.
Do you regret not having a tryout earlier in the year when everyone else was calling for one? Did you make a bad signing?
Those
there
are great questions, and I think very curious. I so want to know more about what's coming next, though.
Because
did you learn from these mistakes?
Right.
Yeah.
Will you hire a team psychologist?
I would. I'm still stuck in the past. I'm a coward and a loser. Could
you see him about your inability to get out of the house?
I would ask if he was involved in the decision to play the Eagles instead of the Vikings, too.
I never want to hear the name Cody Parkey ever again, so I wouldn't ask Ryan Pace about Cody Parkey. I just assume that he's going to be cut no matter what the cost will be before they head down to Bourbonnais.
Is he forever the kicker to you?
He's just nothing to me. He's
cost him Vic Fangio.
An afterthought. He's a footnote. He's nothing. He's absolutely nothing to me. So I wouldn't ask Ryan Pace about that. I'd ask him about the defensive coordinator position. It's much more important in the grand scheme of things than somebody that can come in and, you know, stink out loud like the last kicker. Why have the Bears waited so long to make him available? They're the Bears. This is what they do. This is how they handle social, you know, media relations. This is how they handle their organization. This is just business as usual.
While I agree with Kevin that the defensive coordinator position is much more important than the kicker in the grand scheme of things, by the time the Bears talk, they will have hired a new defensive coordinator. They will be introducing that defensive coordinator. They probably, because I don't run the team, will have not addressed Cody Parkey, at least publicly. So that's why the first question would be, tell the fans, Ryan, over here, look at me. Why,
Madonna, this way.
Why is Cody Parkey still an employee of the Chicago Bears? And how do you explain that? How do you explain that to your fans?
Why did you cut Robbie Gould?
Who let the Ditka guy into the press conference?
You can have the follow-up, Molly.
Is Virginia McCaskey pissed off about Cody Parkey?
Someone actually asked that question in the news conference.
She spit out her A&W root beer. Did you notice that when they showed her in the press box?
I thought it was a Dr. Pepper.
Or whatever you want to cut, not the press box, but the luxury suite. Yeah.
Is that before she fell asleep?
An A&W root beer.
I don't understand your question.
Don't miss Northwestern basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Single game tickets are available for Penn State, Rutgers, Minnesota, and Ohio State. Buy now at NUSports.com. Saints head coach Sean Payton entered his locker room with the Lombardi Trophy and $225,000 in cash. That is the bonus for winning the Super Bowl. Is it great coaching or a cheap stunt?
He also had security with him, which tells you something about his faith in his team.
That was hilarious, wasn't it?
You know, most of good coaching is cheap stunts, just so you know. There's really no difference. I'm all over it. I thought it was hysterical. I think it's a great idea. I think it's a lot of fun, and I think it's a reminder to the players what they're doing. And a lot of people work with visuals. It helps. You know, when you watch the World Series of Poker and there's $1 million on the table, that's you know, that would tense you up in a hand of poker. So I think when they pour the money onto the table, and you know, I've been fortunate enough to go down to go to Las Vegas and to have my photo taken with $1 million that is locked under plastic. I tried to get it open, and I think it's awesome. I love that kind of stuff. I think it's a lot of fun. I think he's having fun. If you talk about Club Dub and you like that sort of thing, mm-hmm. then you got to see Sean Payton doing his dance in the post game. I'm all over it. I think it's good stuff. Yeah, I like it.
How many security guards do you require when you walk around with $200K?
Yeah, I've never walked around with that kind of coin or with security.
This is definitely Sean Payton just acknowledging the obvious, embracing it, and I think he does have a lot of fun, and it's nice to see. I think it's hilarious because it speaks to the players in the language that they understand, and that is dollar signs. And you put it up there, and it is it's a great reminder. It's a great symbol. You win three games, you get this. And I think as much as we talk about, the winning matters, the experiences are great, and you have legacies that are formed in the playoffs, you also get paid. And this was a good reminder of that.
Yeah, we have a team that's been sitting around for a couple of weeks. Coaches are always looking for some sort of motivation. It's fun. I love the idea. If Foles goes down to the Superdome and pulls off the upset with that secondary against Breeze in New Orleans, I give up.
It's good coaching. It's, I guess, a little bit of a stunt, but you have to find ways to keep guys motivated to a certain level, and Sean Payton certainly has as much credibility as anybody, given the fact that, yeah, he's got one of those trophies, and he's got a lot of money as well. So good for him, good for the Saints.
I'm just surprised that he needed the security for the 200 or 250K, depending on which tweet you believe. I mean, somebody like that's probably can get that kind of cash. I think it's great. I love it. I mean, the thing is, I think it leads to the idea that they need some extra motivation. They need to be woken up, as we talked about yesterday.
Like a bounty?
Got the head off the snake.
Well, wouldn't be the first time.
All right, that's the 5 at 5, 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.